Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
There's big news. There was a story in The Athletic yesterday. Jerry making moves, perhaps discussing a sale.
A sale.
Of the White Sox.
In active discussions.
He's in active discussions yes. with a group led by Dave Stewart. Yeah, that Dave Stewart.
The same guy. Tony La Russa's confidant.
Huh? Is that what he said?
Obviously, the sentiment all season long, you don't have to be an investigative reporter to understand that there's a movement that people would love to see the White Sox sold. The fan base yes. would be in favor of this news. But as a Sox fan, when you see this news, are you encouraged by the fact that, oh boy, Jerry Reinsdorf might actually be selling the Sox? Or are you concerned about, oh boy, he's selling the Sox to somebody who might want to move the team?
And the White Sox have some options, and they might move out of the city, they might move out of town, they might go to Nashville. What's the future going to be? And we'll get to it.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Good Friday morning. Ruthie Polinsky from the Chicago Sports Network, my co-host on the Big Pro Football Show every night at 5:30, is in for Mully. Good morning, Ruthie.
Good morning. I'm so surprised you're not sick of me yet.
I am not sick of you yet. It's not been that long. I wouldn't get sick of you. It's a fun show to do. This is all that we're talking now. I said, this is talking without makeup. I don't have to wear makeup this morning. That's a good step in the right direction. So it is a good Friday morning. We're going to talk more about things other than pro football. That we'll keep that for later. Bears are off this weekend. But boy, last night, the Major League playoffs delivered. And they had Game 3 in Cleveland. And it will just be known as Game 3 in Cleveland because all the things that happened made that an instant classic. And you might say, Christmas came early. John Kenzie Noel. Big Christmas. Is that his nickname? Big Christmas?
Yeah.
Delivered in the ninth inning with one of the more dramatic home runs that you're going to hear. And you will hear it now.
Plateau, acaba de empatar el encuentro la Navidad en octubre. ¡Qué bárbaro! ¡Qué monstruo!
You can't have much more fun than that.
It's incredible.
Feliz Navidad.
¡Feliz Navidad!
Feliz Navidad.
¡Feliz Navidad!
That was just the beginning. That was the ninth inning. You have to even go back further than that. Guardians are leading, and then the Yankees go back-to-back. They get the big guys homering. It was
Judge.
And Stanton. And they get what they're looking for with two big swings. And then the Guardians come back. And then it goes extra innings. And wherever this guy came from, I don't know. But he was a Brewers draft pick, toiled in the minor leagues. He was traded to Cleveland. He was basically a rookie last year. This year, David Fry makes the All-Star team. He is, to put it in Cub fan terms, Dustin, I think this is probably the best way to put it. He's their version of Ben Zobrist. Plays almost every position. He even caught, I think, for several 25, 30 games this year. David Fry steps up to the plate in the 10th inning after David Fry earlier in this playoff postseason already had a dramatic walk-off. Here he goes again with the walk-off.
Here it comes. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes. How about that? A walk-off two-run home run to the bleachers in left by David Fry. And the magical 2024 season is not done by any means.
Tom Hamilton on the call, right? That was a classic Cleveland broadcaster with a classic Cleveland moment. David Fry does it again. Fun.
It feels like when you know, one guy in the postseason when one guy hits the walk-off, he's always hitting another one. It's just, it's special. Like, this is the time of year where guys get special. And it's just so cool to watch. It's so cool to see it in a city like Cleveland. Best wishes moving forward, but it was really cool to watch last night.
David Fry caught 23 games, played 20 at first base, played 20 in the outfield, 16 in left field, 4 at third base.
He's the Cole Kmet.
Well, that's high praise for both guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He is Mr. Utility. And the Guardians live to fight another day, and they think it's a special season in Cleveland. I don't think that'll last. But it is fun to see this extended, to go into the weekend with a little bit more drama and suspense. And here in Chicago, it fills a lot of people with envy. Watching playoff baseball is so much fun, but you feel so much like you're missing out on something. There's a lot of FOMO going on with baseball observers in Chicago when you watch these playoffs, because they are delivering. Now, not so much in the other series, not so much with Mets-Dodgers. Dodgers, Ohtani leads off with a home run, and the Dodgers are just going to town and taking care of the Mets. I think that series feels like it's close to being over more than the other one. The other one might go a little bit longer. Jose Quintana was on the mound for the Mets. He faced Ohtani three times, but that just is too deep of a lineup. You're not going to keep them from scoring as many runs as they're scoring. That's just they're too good.
They're about as hot can get.
You have a family member that was there? Your sister was there?
My sister was at the Mets game last night. I guess I should say the Dodgers game. But yeah, it was in New York. And my sister and her boyfriend's a huge diehard Mets fan. And they got nosebleed tickets last night. He was like, we're not missing this. And they thought that would be a good game to go to. Unfortunately for them, it certainly wasn't. But they said they still had a nice time.
Well, I think that the Mets have maxed out. It feels like. And though maybe they're not done yet, but there's an element of magic to their postseason, to their playoffs. But I think when you run into a Dodgers team as deep as they are, Max Muncy setting all kinds of records with getting on base, and you got Ohtani doing his thing. Mookie Betts is getting hot. And I just think the Dodgers are too good. So I think we're staring at Dodgers Yankees, even though the Guardians may have something to say about that. And that would be good for Major League Baseball. Seems like what Major League Baseball wants based on the commercials. And I think that I'm ready for Yankees-Dodgers World Series. So that would be a lot of fun. The Guardians game did not disappoint, flipping back and forth between that and the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks moving to hockey at the United Center. We were there for the red carpet treatment. You saw that at
it was fun at the UC yesterday.
Had you been there before for the red carpet?
I had never covered it. I didn't cover it for NBC, and Mike Berman was there for NBC yesterday. But I did enjoy seeing that. It's a great environment. It was cool to see all the fans that come out for that. I think that's awesome.
It's become somewhat of a tradition. They started this back in the heyday, if you will, and they took advantage of the popularity of those teams. And that was an event each and every year. And there would be even as many fans as were there last night surrounding the United Center before they dropped the puck, before all the pregame festivities, there were more before. There, like in the past, it would be more crowded. So what you saw last night was a team in the Blackhawks that after five games, I think they're better than people expected. Now, it's only five games, but they are more competitive, more interesting, more everything than they have been the last couple of years. It's a low bar to clear, but they seem to have cleared it pretty well so far.
It's really cool to see them playing with sort of a different level of confidence, I think, than they've played in years, especially last year. And even, you know, Connor Bedard just looks older. I don't know. He's got something about him that I just feel like there's this swagger and confidence. He knows he belongs. And it's really fun to watch. He's no look pass. I mean, Patrick
Mahomes.
The
no look pass was cool.
That was cool.
He did a Mahomes.
Yeah.
He did do a Mahomes. And he also has benefited from playing with Teuvo Teravainen. Now, they did a nice job in this offseason of going out and getting some veterans to give Bedard some talent to play with. It was too much to ask for him to carry the team for. He's going to carry the team for as long as he is here. But to do all of the heavy lifting. So these veterans that they've surrounded him with, it's nice to have a dynamic player like Tavo who sees the ice as almost as well and similarly that Bedard does. And you have seen these two work very well together. They're on a line with Nick Foligno, the veteran captain who, you know, adds something, adds a little intangible to every shift. So, yeah, Bedard is fun to watch. They're playing pretty good defense in front of Peter Mrazek, and they beat the San Jose Sharks. Now, the San Jose Sharks obviously did not have Macklin Celebrini. They did not. They are not one of the best teams in the Western Conference, but Blackhawks did what they needed to do, 4-2. Tyler Bertuzzi gets on the board for the first time this year. He had a nice little deflection. He's one of those veterans that they need to come through. They went out and got. And the Blackhawks win their first home game, and they host the Sabres on Saturday night.
When the Sharks scored that second goal, you're like, oh boy, uh-oh. But I think it was exciting to see the Blackhawks close it out, finish it. The Sharks are not good, and that's okay. And I think the Blackhawks did what you wanted to see them do against that team, but it felt like they had total control of that game.
It did. They got it to a 3-0 lead, and the dreaded three-goal lead in hockey, but they never really relented, and they were in command the whole game. So you are from St. Louis. You've worked in Texas. You went to Providence. You have been in Miami. Now you're in Chicago.
I went to Michigan. I worked in Providence.
Oh, you worked in Providence. You went to Michigan. You're proud Maize and Blue devotee.
You're just making our viewers hate me.
This is background and context. Because the question is, how much in all of your stops and travels and also your upbringing was hockey a part of your sports experience?
Yeah, it was huge. And funny enough, when I was working in Providence, we covered the Bruins in Boston, and that was the Stanley Cup year that they played the St. Louis Blues. And that was just an incredible experience for me. And I think people need to realize that when you cover a team, you lose your fandom in this industry, because when you're covering a team, it's more fun for me when the team I'm covering is winning.
Right.
And it's better for my career if the team I'm covering is winning.
Right.
Right. Selfishly. So that Blues series, I remember going into it and saying, listen, I just want this to go 7 games. I want this to go 7 games. I'll be happy either way. And I covered the Bruins. Like, I got to know those guys. Like, it's you're rooting for, you know, human beings in that moment. And I wasn't covering the Blues. Right. Like, I was in the Bruins locker room. So this is a great story. So it goes to game 7. It was fun. I went home for the games in St. Louis. I stayed at my parents' house.
This is 2019.
We had a big party. This is 2019. We had a big party for all the Boston media and in Rhode Island media that was in St. Louis. My parents had everyone over. It was a blast. And we go back to Boston for game 7. And the Blues win. And I'm looking at my boss in like the closing seconds, and my boss looks at me and he's, you know, we're about to go into the Bruins locker room, dressing room. And my boss looks at me and he goes, you can go on the ice. And I was like, really? And so we had two cameras there. And so I got to kind of go be a part of that celebration. And it was really.
Did you go to Blues games growing up?
I did. I more so as I got older.
So you hated the Blackhawks growing up?
Despised. and again, I hated the Cubs.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah. I grew up with baseball. Baseball was really
baseball
what.
In St. Louis.
Baseball in St. Louis is something
you're a
else.
St. Louis sports fan. And these I was are the in kind of things you deal with.
Cardinals prime.
Yeah.
My dog's name was Albert growing up. Like, what are we talking about?
That's classic.
So, yeah. But again, when I came here, you know, you were in the Cubs clubhouse. Like, you want those guys to do well. So you lose your fandom when you're in this industry, I think, a little
bit. And what happened to when you got to Florida, that was the beginning of the Panthers kind of making, legitimizing their organization.
Coach Q was there when I got there.
Joel Quenneville arrived before he was basically exiled from the NHL. But they began a process that culminated last year with the Stanley Cup final. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions right now.
Yeah, one of my final assignments in Miami and South Florida was covering Matthew Tkachuk's introductory press conference. And so, I was kind of there on the up and up. And they knew that they needed to make changes. There were some staples that they got rid of there. I'm so happy for that team. I mean, that's just a great organization. And Bill Zito has done a great job of figuring out that roster and putting the pieces together.
I remember when Bill Zito was an agent representing some Blackhawks players. I remember back in the day when he was an NHL agent, and now he is the executive of Stanley Cup champion. So that's awesome. Very big deal. So the Blackhawks back on the ice tomorrow night. They are 2-2-1. Good night for them at the United Center. A lot of fun with the festivities and all of the pomp and circumstances. The Blackhawks know how to throw a party. The Bulls back in action tonight. The final preseason game, thankfully, against the Cavaliers. Here's the big news with the Bulls. Now, preseason is what it is, but the Lonzo Ball story has dominated this week in terms of the Bulls' progress and everything about the Bulls because of how remarkable his presence on the court was and what he did, just not only in coming back, but in coming back and looking as fluid as he did and shooting as well as he did. Now he goes back tonight, and he's expected to play again because he practiced yesterday. It was a light practice, but I think everybody kind of collectively held their breath wondering how would he wake up and how would he feel. Sounds like he felt fine, and he was practicing back on the court.
Best case scenario, and that's what you want to hear, and it's cool to hear him talk about it a day later, and I know we'll get into this more a little bit later, but I think you could see him play a little bit more freely tonight. I think there's less pressure, and you've kind of gotten those initial jitters out of there. I mean, essentially you're playing a game where there's a lot of eyeballs on you. You know, I think everyone kind of is exhaling right now, and he can kind of play a little bit more freely.
What I couldn't believe, first of all, we were all somewhat skeptical, like most people, that he would even get back. And whenever the Bulls would invoke the name of Lonzo Ball over the last 18 months, especially, be like, oh,
yeah,
not another update. Just please don't. Why are you banking on
anything?
Don't
tease us.
Don't tease us, because it's unlikely to happen. So when he comes back, you're impressed. And all the things about this being, you know, medical history and the fact that if this works as well as it looks like it could, that one day they'll be calling it Lonzo Ball surgery. And people will be having cartilage replacements. And this is the kind of thing you want to celebrate and praise and be part of. But I also think this, I could not believe how instinctive he remained when he did little things like the bounce pass to Zach LaVine on the back door that had to be adjusted a certain angle, the defensive instincts to double team and to steal the ball and then to save it running out of bounds and protecting himself, and then how effortlessly he shot the three and hit it. I mean, this looked like a guy who had no rust. Now, he was, I think, appropriately tentative at times. He avoided being reckless. But he made everyone, I think, kind of rethink what they were projecting about this Bulls team if he's going to be part of it. I don't know what to expect from Lonzo Ball, but if you're going to get 15 to 20 minutes a night from him, I think you change your expectations.
Especially if he's going to come in and hit threes and make great passes and get a rebound and a steal and a block, and he's going to contribute. And I think that's really exciting. And it's cool to see his teammates rally around him. I loved that video of all those guys in the locker room giving him the game ball, the signed jersey. That was cool. And you know what? For all the talk about Zach LaVine and all that, to see him kind of take ownership and leadership in that moment, because I initially was watching the video, I'm like, oh, that's interesting that Kobe is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go over to Zach LaVine, who gives him the jersey. And I'm excited to see. Zach's always been a pro, always, especially with us. And I think I'm excited to see him play, especially if he's going to play like a little bit of what we've seen so far in the preseason.
Bulls Cavs tonight at the United Center, right here on The Score as well, of course, leading toward the season opener Wednesday night in New Orleans against the Pelicans and Zion Williamson. Coverage right here on The Score, 6:45. So that is the Bulls college football weekend, a big one. Georgia and Texas, that's probably the biggest game nationally. Right here on The Score, 6:45, Saturday night, a primetime experience. If you're driving, if you're at home, that's a game you want to listen to or watch. Alabama at Tennessee, and then the big one in the Big Ten. We're going to talk to Northwestern coach David Braun at 8:45. They host Wisconsin on the lakefront, the final game in their makeshift stadium. But even bigger than that, perhaps, Illinois against Ruthie's Michigan Wolverines. This is the first time I can remember, and we had Brett Bielema on yesterday. Illinois is ranked ahead of Michigan when they're playing. And they are still, though, three-point underdogs to the Maize and Blue.
With Michigan, with Michigan on the road. And it's going to be an electric. Do you see they're going to wear their, Illinois is going to wear their throwback uniforms?
Yeah, we talked to Brett Bielema about that.
Yeah.
He said he did not pick them out.
Okay. I am not feeling great about that game as a Michigan Wolverine. I do think it's a huge game for Illinois. I think it's bigger for them than it is for Michigan. I think for us, can I say go for us? Yeah, I am a Wolverine. I can say it.
You went to see them play Arkansas State or whatever, didn't you?
I did.
You drove to Ann Arbor because you wanted to see. You wanted to get back on campus. Couldn't get Texas tickets.
Couldn't get USC tickets. I could, but I just, you know, you'd think I'd have like the hookup by now,
but I don't.
I
didn't maintain season tickets.
I did. I'm not a season ticket holder quite yet. I gotta keep chugging along here in this TV career.
But if you do, you're not going to have many Saturdays off.
Pick up more radio shifts.
Yeah.
Listen, Michigan, our season, it is what it is right now. It's hard to watch, to be honest with you. And obviously they beat USC. I think USC obviously is not as good as...
I think you sound spoiled.
We're spoiled. And I think we're coming off a national championship, baby.
Yes.
Like, you can't win every year.
You're the reigning national champions.
And we lost our coach. We lost our quarterback.
We lost the whole coaching infrastructure, basically. Jim Harbaugh took Jesse Minter with him to L.A., and it's a different type of dynamic. Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, he's just basically there to work on his NFL resume, right?
And to have funny comments. Like
quotable.
Yeah, very quotable. I think it's just, you know, it's our season. It is what it is. The fact that we can't get a quarterback... Almost cursed, you know.
Don't do that.
I didn't know.
Don't do that.
I'm just teasing. It's just unbelievable to me. We're Michigan. Like, why is it so hard?
Well, we'll find out how hard it is tomorrow afternoon in Champaign against the Illini. Illini are looking at that game as a litmus test for how good they really are this year. So, college football weekend ahead. Last night, the NFL weekend started with the Saints barely showing up, but the Broncos and Sean Payton's return to New Orleans, 33-10. That was a blowout. Was Al Michaels complaining? He could have been whining because that was a bad game. The Broncos definitely much better than the Saints, who now have lost, I believe, 5 in a row. Dennis Allen could be in trouble.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the defensive head coach who has a bad defense. And I think that's kind of the bottom line there. You know, I think a lot of what helped Matt Eberflus this offseason was that his defense was elite at the end of last season. And so he had that to hang his hat on, and that's certainly not the case for the defensive head coach in New Orleans right now. And it's going to get interesting. But, I mean, just on that night, Thursday night football, Drew Brees is honored, Sean Payton's homecoming, like really just – not a great look, and you got to imagine
they're very injured though.
Very injured,
are very
and that's a thing. Like that counts.
Spencer Rattler did not look like a quarterback good enough to have beaten out once in his life Caleb Williams.
Isn't that crazy?
It is, but Caleb Williams was younger. Spencer Rattler was already at Oklahoma, and that didn't last long.
Right,
because Caleb Williams, the best rookie quarterback that Dave Wanstead's ever seen. Did I hear that correctly? We need to get to that sound later. Dave Wanstead, according to the cut sheet, and also from what people said, Dave Wanstead is quoted as saying that Caleb Williams is better than any rookie quarterback I've ever seen. That's quite a statement.
Well, I'm guessing it probably means with the Bears.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, that's a little
I'm guessing.
Bar.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tease, listeners. That's a tease.